The Flap is an unrivaled talk show featuring in-depth conversations on technology, life, love, comics, and fatherhood, hosted by founding members of Paper Keg, Dale underscore A, and Slim. I have this thing, like when I change Reed on his changing table, I slap him and I raspberry his little belly. So he got wise to the fact and he started wanting to slap my belly. So, but he gets peed if I don't lift up my shirt. So I gotta lift up my shirt for him so he can slap my belly while I'm changing him.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day, we're having dinner at our house, as it happens, and, I was changing Reed, and he starts freaking out that I didn't lift up my shirt for him. So I lift up my shirt so he could slap my belly.
At dinner.
Well, people are over for dinner. I'm at his changing table.
Oh, okay.
And as my big grotesque belly is hanging over him so I could slap it, one of my wife's relatives walk in Reed's room. So I'm changing him. And he's just staring. He's like eye level with my big fat belly. That grotesque orb just hanging there. So that's, I think that's the latest in my.
That's the up to date belly scenario happening.
Yeah.
Up to the minute. What was the relative's reaction at that point?
There's an uncomfortable
silence.
They
just go home.
There was uncomfortable silence.
They slowly closed the door, walked away, and got their keys and left.
They got the hint. I'm just saying. Went back
to
join their. Right. Yeah. They probably won't be back. We might not be having anybody for Christmas this year.
Did you update your Facebook status with this story? And if so, why not?
Yes, I joined Facebook.
You were like the longest. Your signing Facebook was the Chinese democracy of social networking creations.
It's almost like when friends start friending me and stuff on Facebook, and I see they've been around since 2008. I'm like, why did I even join Facebook? It's embarrassing to see that I've joined in 2013. Right?
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. I've had it forever, but I don't use it. Literally the saving grace is birthdays. You know when people's birthdays are easily. And if people get married and have a kid, I guess, if you're into that.
Yeah. Yeah, that could start to help, I suppose. I did join Facebook. My main drive, to be completely honest, is I listen to a podcast about Skyrim, and they have a Facebook group. Okay,
that sentence has never been uttered before in human history, first of all, and it may never be uttered again.
Just let me be. Leave me be to be me.
Okay,
and that was the main driving force, so I could join in. And, join in the Facebook group. And it's like a message board, but it's hosted by Facebook, I guess. Well, you know what a Facebook group is, probably.
I mean, I've heard of them.
But the other thing is, and this is no lie, there is a drive in me to, if I can help with promoting our podcasts, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, if it's another avenue for me to share a link to the same people that see your links and you know, I know in the end it's all not going to be many more people than that I know on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. They might even be 100% the same people.
You're absolutely right. Because I made the announcement at dinner. My mom and sister was over. I said, I joined Facebook.
I love the scenario where you tell everyone to stop and you have a big announcement.
I didn't.
Well, it's you announcing that you joined Facebook.
And they didn't give two craps. They could have cared less after all the poking and prodding.
They cared more about you with your exposed belly in that room.
Word got round to them that my grotesque belly was there attending dinner. VP of marketing, VP of merch for Paper Keg, Book Jug, The Flap.
Right.
The Paper Keg Radio Syndicate.
As we call it.
If you will. When I joined Facebook, it was late at night, and I had to make my first confession to you. I started laying groundwork with you. I feel like I had to confess to you and tell you first and foremost.
I was your Cardinal Bishop that night.
And I was working late, and I was so exhausted and tired after I joined Facebook. Facebook just starts hitting me with all these questions, and I was just like, I can't. I was exhausted. I was like, I can't do it right now. I don't know what you're doing, Facebook, but I literally felt overwhelmed as to what was happening on Facebook. So I sent you a friend request, and then I signed off.
And that was that. Did you have to answer, like, what your favorite movies were? Like, those questions?
It asked me to answer that. I could have skipped it. And I did skip most of it. I think I answered a book question before I got wise to what they're just asking. There's no they're just asking me, and then I'll, on your Facebook profile, it'll show up as, like, crappy little square icon of a scan of a movie cover. But I didn't. And then I had to go through and check privacy settings because everything's, they want everything to be public.
Did you start getting texts and requests from family members immediately after that? Did Facebook's algorithm start getting all wonky for them, and they were like, "You should friend your cousin," and etc.
The algorithms thus far have only pointed me towards the people who know you. So I'm very, the people I've met through you centric on Facebook right now, because the only person I have reached out and friended is you. Everybody else has reached out to me so far.
I was at a beer dinner and I made my announcement that you had joined Facebook. I told everyone to hold on a minute and I have a big announcement to make.
I appreciate it.
Several people immediately opened up their phones and tap that ad search Dale underscore A.
Their jaw probably dropped, right?
They did.
They got excited.
I mean, they wondered immediately what you were going to do your Google Plus account. Would that stay active, go dormant? Nobody knows.
It's too vitriolic right there. All right.
Can you make that announcement live on the air? What will become of Dale's Google Plus account?
Well, I have no intentions of using it less than I do now. I still back up all my photos to Google Plus.
So you back them up to Google Plus and not Dropbox?
I back them up to Dropbox too.
Oh.
But Google Plus is very easy to share, even though, sharing it to... It's very easy because it's all uploaded there, and you can just share the album out to, to people who have the link or people who are on Google Plus.
Is your Google Plus account public by default? Everything you do public?
No. There's certain pieces of information that are public, but the most of my posts go out to my circles. That's technically not public. And photos I only share with close friends and family.
I'm more excited about you joining Facebook so that you can now take over all social activities for our podcasts, and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
That's kind of like what has me excited. I don't know why. I'm dumb. God, I'm so dumb. I would definitely do that. But I got to get my foot in the door with this dumb Facebook. Because right now, Twitter is my life.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to post. What do I post to Facebook that I don't post to Twitter? And what do I... And I don't want to start posting the same thing to both places. I mean?
It's a lot to think about. Now you have to think about three separate social posts: Google Plus, Twitter, and Facebook. And maybe save something for a group text for me and Jonesy that you haven't socialized.
I just quit all social media just from your talking. I just quit it.
Another, one thing you could update your Facebook with is that it's been a year anniversary since your vasectomy.
That's right. Yeah, I could put
that
as,
if you're aware.
As a big event. Has it been a year since?
Yeah, because I looked, I used that Time Hop app, and it said that I saw a tweet where I said, here's me, I talked to my friend about his vasectomy. So our episode 3 of The Flap is a year old, and now we're just recording episode 9.
Wow. Well, I have no more kids on the way. So, you know, things must have worked out in the end.
Your love life has never been steamier. I know you text me that on a regular basis, and you just do hashtag steamy.
And I'll never put that to Facebook or any just slim media, slim social
right.
media.
We'll make that Twitter dark, as we call it.
Yeah, exactly.
So how long until you... do you think you're in Facebook for the long haul? This is it.
No, I honestly can't make that declaration. I still don't know what I would use it for. I really don't know. And that probably won't change until I actually reach out and friend request someone. Because I don't know what the protocol is. There's people that sure I would probably say hi to, but I haven't talked to them in 10 years. Do I just what's okay and what's not okay to just reach out and say add as a friend? Like,
I had a bunch of those. I think I cleaned out my Facebook friends list of people that I had met in person. If they weren't a relative and I hadn't talked to them in person in more than a year, I deleted them. So I got rid of like pretty much every high school person. All their posts were garbage anyway. I mean, the people I still friends with on Facebook are still garbage anyway. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Join me for, you know, miscellaneous game, awful, political garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
BuzzFeed links. I mean, I can get that any day of the week on Twitter.
Right.
Any second of the day, I could get a top 35 miscellaneous pictures. But I complain about Facebook, but I don't even really use it. I log into it maybe once every few days. I just send all my stuff there. Like, if I upload something to Instagram, I'll tap the Facebook button and have it shoot there so members of the family can see this photo. But I also send that to Flickr. I'll send Vines there. It's just like a repository.
Yeah, I see myself just doing that because there are pictures of my kids that, you know, I would like to show my mom and my sister. And I just don't, I mean, maybe I'll send them a text with a picture once every few months, but, you know, at least they'll get to see pictures of the kids more often. And if they're only going to use Facebook, then that makes me feel better that they're going to get to see it. But, you know, other than that, maybe my untapped, my beer check-ins or something, you know, goofy like that. But the truth of the matter is, and if I don't start talking, friending people that I haven't talked to in years, then it's just going to be the same people that are on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know.
Is your Xbox One paid off yet?
I still owe as of this recording, I still owe $3.50 on my Xbox One.
I think you should explain your elaborate scheme to get an Xbox One. First of all.
Yeah, so
it's like a heist movie.
This, and I had to map it all out before I had anybody sign off on agreeing to it. I'm pretty excited because this is my first console launch console. So, and it's funny when I look at my life and what my interests are because I'm married with two kids. That I would be excited about a console launch. And that's probably because when the last consoles launched, Xbox 360, I was at a point in time in my life where I wasn't playing games a whole lot. I was, you know...
Drugs.
I was doing drugs, drinking, you
sex.
Know... Sexual encounters and things like this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I didn't care about Xbox 360 at launch, and my friend kind of got me into it. Maybe 2 years in, but now, you know, all I do other than comics is play consoles. So I'm excited to get on the ground floor. So I broke it down to my wife after they announced it. I'm like, look, I want to get an Xbox One. It's $500. I had to mumble that to her. $500. She's, you know, why would she want to hear that?
Why would any spouse want to hear that?
but I had started formulating in my head how I'm going to compromise with her before I started speaking to having this conversation with her.
Game plan.
And I was like, well, if I can offset the cost and make it a zero-sum game, then, you know, then how could she not agree to it? So I already knew before I approached her that I had like a year's worth of, I forget what's the name, like parking reimbursements from work, like petty cash, or I forget what it's called, but like parking in Philadelphia for work, I had about a year's worth of, it was probably like $175 or something like that. So I'm like, there's a nice deposit on an Xbox One right there. So I was like, you know, I'll finally get that reimbursed. And I was thinking my PS3, I get rid of that and possibly my Xbox 360 if I had to. I didn't really want to do that because I play Skyrim on it. And I have a lot of games for Xbox 360 that would still be played, especially if I only get one game for Xbox One for the first, you know, 6 months of its life cycle. So I was like, well, let me trade in my PS3. And I was thinking maybe I could sell it on eBay or something, but I really don't want to go through any hassle of selling anything on eBay. So I just traded it into Amazon, which I don't recommend.
Oh.
And that's mainly because, you know, they're just like false advertisement, and whatever they're quoting you on Amazon is the definite, they're going to undercut you from whatever they quote you by a severe amount.
And you had told me that it's not even Amazon that does it. They have like some kind of third party vendor that takes care of all that stuff.
Yeah. So, and that's probably part of the reason why it looks good and then doesn't turn out to be good, but you don't ship it to Amazon. You ship it to third party company and they're just, you know, feeding Amazon what they say the system is worth and something like that. So I had the Uncharted Drake's Fortune bundle for PS3, and it had the 160 gig hard drive and stuff. And on Amazon.com, even without a box and stuff, they quoted me like $110. And I had the box, I had everything, but the instruction manual, quote unquote. And I sent it all in the box. I sent it new, but, you know, everything was in pristine condition, and they wanted to give me like $52 for the system. And I was just like, my head was spinning when I saw the email. And the big mistake I made was there's basically an option that says the option is if you're not going to get the money that we quoted you on this website, to just send back the hardware or to just let us give you what we think it's worth. And I picked that option because I'm like, well, how bad could it really be? If it's $20 off what they quoted me, that still saves me the trouble of, you know, getting having to do eBay and I'm getting an Amazon gift card in return anyway. And I think the quote for the Uncharted for the PlayStation with the box and everything was probably like $180 or something like that. I mean, I was, wow. And then it came back, it was like, we give you $52 credit to your account. My bottoms fell out. It was,
you couldn't load up that Facebook app fast enough to complain.
Exactly. I was like, I really need a platform to spread, to get this viral marketing campaign going against Amazon trade-in. So I contacted Amazon and fought with them, and they ended up giving me like $60 extra in promotional credit. But I was so annoyed at the fact that I had to deal with Amazon customer service that didn't give a crap and or understand my plight, because it wasn't them that actually gave me such a crap quote. They're just doing what the third party vendor told them to do. So I was hot to trot. but I ended up doing that, and then I just started, I forget how I raised the, my Visa PNC points through my bank, got Amazon gift cards through there. I was hustling everywhere.
Visa, what is the Visa PNC points? Because I have PNC. Am I missing out on something here?
Yeah, you. It's possible you may be the. I know the check card, Visa check card through them this past year. That's the one. That's that beaut right there. That if you log into their website and click PNC points, you may have to enroll. But or I can't remember if you have to enroll or not right off the bat, or you just may start accruing points. But for the check card, it's like, you know, definitely weak. Like you're only getting a tiny, tiny bit for each transaction. But we had transferred a few different credit cards to a PNC credit card, and I had like 77,000 points, PNC points.
What? And that is like 30 Xboxes?
That's like, well, and then you can choose your reward through the points. And I got like $125 in Amazon money.
Oh,
God. And I was just loving that. But after all that, I'm still $350 short for the console. And then I still have to get a game. And I had money. Actually, my plan for the game was, you know, since Microsoft store takes PayPal, I had like $70 in PayPal money, and I was just got the game digitally, but I ended up using that money for something else.
Are you gonna buy your Xbox games digitally, or are you gonna get discs?
I will most likely go discs only because I know, like, say Black Friday next. The week after Xbox comes out, like Amazon is typical to like offer like $25 off games. Whereas mm-hmm. digitally, I usually don't buy games at launch, not many. And if I do, then I would buy it digitally for the $60. But if I know I'm not going to buy it right away, then there's a chance I would wait and see if it goes on sale on Amazon for even $5 or $10 off, which the Microsoft store rarely does.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to start doing flash sales since they're kind of going all in digitally now for this generation.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I would think in order to compete, because even you know, Best Buy and Toys R Us have buy two get one free. Like it's hard to pass up that savings. So I'd be curious to see if the Microsoft store actually starts doing like 33% off digital sales and stuff like that, because I'd go digital, definitely.
Yeah,
because I don't trade in my games or anything like that.
By the time you want to trade them in, you just get upset at the value that you would get if you trade it in.
Yeah,
and then you just want to leave and go home,
and then you're just contributing to, you know, GameStop's business model or whatever of just making money hand over fist. Yeah.
What was the reason why you chose Xbox over PS4?
I'm just more invested in the Xbox ecosystem. I mean, that really...
Is Skyrim available on PS4?
It's available on PS3, not PS4.
Oh, that's what I meant, yeah.
But I had a PS3. I just never played it. And I don't have friends on PS3. I liked the Uncharted series on PS3, but my default go-to is Xbox 360, and my gamer score has a lot to do to influence what is driving the next generation. And also, I don't have a lot. I have like the series, the Party Down series on Xbox Video, which is nothing. But if I get rid of my Xbox, then that's money wasted. Where I don't have any money invested in PlayStation whatsoever, in the PlayStation Network or anything like that. It's it's more of an ecosystem thing. Like my profile is more robust in Xbox. I have Xbox, you know, I guess owned from the store, videos and stuff like that.
I ever tell you what I spent that $20 credit on, where I changed my pre-order for GTA to the Microsoft store and you get like $20 credit? I turned on my Xbox and the A button on the controller was broken and depressed. So it just continued pressing the A button on whatever was the first thing on screen and purchased that item. It just went through all the confirmation prompts and just bought it, and it was Pacific Rim. So I spent all $20 on buying Pacific Rim on Xbox Live.
After all that.
It was horrendous. And the worst part is, which is entirely my fault, is that I contacted customer service and I was like, hey, you may not believe this, but the A button was broken on my controller and I just bought Pacific Rim. And they gave me a phone number to call and I just never called. And my wife and I just ended up watching it like a couple weeks ago.
Well, now you have to get an Xbox One just so you, in case you want to watch Pacific Rim again.
Yeah.
Would you have a driving, like, I know you're Team Xbox like me, but would a PS4 sway your decision in any way?
Probably not at this point. I'm so used to the app ecosystem of the Xbox, actually probably even more so than games at this point.
Yeah.
Where I think about this a lot, like where I want to buy my movies now, because I actually really love, I'm starting to like a lot Android. So, like, I'm trying to think of, like, if I ever, you know, for whatever reason, switch away from iPhone or iPad, would I want my media to follow suit?
Yeah.
So, I have, like, maybe 10 or 15 movies on iTunes in the cloud, and I just bought The Wolverine, so that's there. But I also have, I don't even remember how, but I have a Transformers, I apparently bought Transformers Dark of the Moon on Google Play. And which is weird. What's weird about that is, which they don't publicize, but your Google Play movies are playable in the YouTube app that you purchase.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, so if you open the YouTube app, there's a purchases tab. And your Play Market movies, maybe it's certain studios, but that one at the very least, and other movies that I rented were playable in the app, which means you can then AirPlay it to Apple TV or on Xbox, there's a purchases button inside the YouTube Xbox app. So if you're an Android person, your Play purchases could be usable on Xbox.
Wow, that's a perfect point. I mean, I tend to buy all my stuff through Amazon Video, and
there's an Xbox app for that.
Yeah,
and iOS, but not Apple TV. But you can AirPlay it to the Apple TV because I still use the Apple TV, but I would love to just switch to Xbox, but the Xbox 360 is so slow compared to the Apple TV that it's like, but there's certain advantages. Like the Xbox app auto plays after episodes. So if my wife wants to play, you know, Scooby-Doo for James, my son, she can just leave it on and it'll just keep playing and auto loop. Like, the first episode went in and then like a 15 second timer would kick in and the next episode would play.
Yeah,
which the new Netflix app is. Yeah, the Netflix app is like actually just got redesigned. And it's fantastic looking. Plus, the Amazon app for Xbox is really good. So I wondered the other day, like, why don't I just buy my movies on Amazon? Because you could just probably just use whatever service or app platform because they have the Amazon app. But I don't know what it is about Apple where like I just. Not even thinking, I just pre-order the Wolverine extended version the other day, and it was just like a non-issue because I also have my music there. I use iTunes Match, I upload whatever music I own, and they give me, you know, high quality version of it to download however I want. So that's like makes it even easier. I mean, essentially, sometimes it just craps out; it doesn't work. But when it does, it's great. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think maybe if we had an Apple TV before I had started like investing in Amazon, it would be different. But as far as, you know, my Xbox has Amazon, and then my Blu-ray player upstairs has Amazon, and then, you know, the iPads obviously have Amazon, and anything we have for Grayson that we have on road trips, we can download in the Amazon app that I buy like cars and stuff like that.
The web experience, I feel like, is just garbage for Amazon digital movies. It's like they shoehorned the digital buying experience into their their retail experience.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. It's kind of like they don't really. It's not
like for books, it kind of works, but when I look at movies, it doesn't fit as well as like the Kindle edition of a book.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. I mean, I definitely agree with that. Definitely, it's not as, it's more like utilitarian or something. It's not pleasurable to do it. You almost have to go out of your way to like to click. It's not just to click to, on the HD version of a movie you want to buy. It's like it's really oddly an odd button that kind of, it doesn't look like it's a button.
Mm-hmm.
It's really odd in that sense.
Yeah, the I think if I had maybe gone the Roku route before I got an Apple TV, and the Roku owners say that it like totally makes Apple TV look like hot garbage in terms of like all the apps that it has. Mm-hmm. Like it has way more apps than the Apple TV does. If I'd gone the Roku route, I probably would have started to just like buy from Amazon. But the default experience on Apple TV is such that you want to buy in iTunes. So like I pre-ordered the Wolverine or anything in iTunes. I bought Batman recently because it was on sale. And that occasionally shows up in Netflix, but it's one of those movies that I would love to own. And like you buy it on your phone, it just like literally instantly shows up in the main view of the Apple TV with this gorgeous cover, nice. And you just hit play and it's streaming.
That you can't beat.
Or you buy a music album on your phone, you come home, it's there. And or you can just go into iTunes Radio and just start playing music. It's just, a lot of the stuff just craps out, but when it works, it's like flawless.
Yeah, you can't beat the experience. You really can't. Like what you just described, just pops up right away on your Apple TV. That's,
I do buy my books on Amazon. And what I didn't realize is that it's actually pretty seamless to move PDFs into the Kindle app on iOS too. I just tried it the other day. There was like a PDF of a comic. And if you open it from Dropbox, it can open it right into the Kindle app.
Yeah, I've forgot it. I did that for a while there with a bunch of PDFs I had, and I just like loaded up the Amazon. And I know you can you can get a Kindle email address and email PDFs, and it's a wild setup that they have. You don't want to spread your money around and fragment your libraries, because if something goes away, you know, you're basically like throwing money out the window in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I started. Like I probably started with Xbox, but then you're confined to Xbox, and you know, you can't have that. I don't have that upstairs in my living room and stuff like that. So when they got the Amazon app, it was just like an Amazon. And then I purposely got a Blu-ray player for Amazon upstairs and stuff like that.
I think they said the HBO Go app isn't going to be ready for launch, I think, for the Xbox One. And I just read that Twitch service, that live gaming streaming service, isn't going to be ready until, like, next year.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people our age maybe were excited for it.
Yeah, I was the other weekend, last weekend when I was working late and I was just watching file copies on a server, it was PS4 launch day, so I was just watching like blog sites, Twitch streams, just because there was nothing else to do, and it was okay. Why would I stream my stuff? But
and then he turned on the Besties podcast and heard F this, F that, F in your face. God, I'm not even like a prude person when it comes to cursing, but that podcast, this has got to take it down a few notches. I mean, I want to look up their reviews to see if people just complain about the cursing, or they just, maybe those people just don't listen to the show and they just, it's just normal. It's like old hat.
It is interesting how they handle themselves, because I would think, you know, you're representing a brand.
It doesn't feel like it's a Polygon podcast. It feels like it was grandfathered into Polygon.
You know, you're absolutely right. Like it feels like it was grandfathered in, and it's not the way Polygon would handle themselves. But since they were there, like I completely understand.
And I don't even know if they really even promote that show. from Polygon's like Tumblr. I see them promote their Friends List podcast. They upload that to SoundCloud, and I see it on my Tumblr feed. But I don't know if they ever promote the Besties. I mean, maybe they do from their Twitter account or whatever. But
yeah, yeah, it's possible.
I mean, it's a good show once you just dive past the F bombs. But I actually, now that I think about it, a lot of the gaming podcasts I listen to have that, where they're just so flippant with their cursing that they don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah, it gets pretty heavy at times, and I'd be curious. It's populated with that kind of stuff, and it's, I don't know, it's weird because a lot of them do represent a brand. And you're trying to be the cool kids on the street and stuff. And like the Besties, you know, the McElroy brothers are on them, which I love. But, you know, they could do that in their My Brother and Me podcast. But you're still kind of, you are at work when you're doing the Polygon podcast.
Yeah.
Or the Besties. And I used to listen to them when they first came out. And I went away for a while because it was, their angle was, you know, they each brought a game of the week to the table, but you know, there were some long stretches where there was no video games out, so they were like just talking about these iOS games and stuff, and that just wasn't like my thing. So I just started listening to them again when PS4 started to, like, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they kind of changed it up to where it was like the best thing of the week gaming related. So Maybe I'll keep listening. I don't know.
Yeah, the most recent one, they were talking about the BioShock downloadable content add-on, where I didn't play the most recent one, but I was listening to that. Which actually, us talking about this podcast reminds me of our idea where we just review other podcasts on a podcast.
Yeah.
Which I still, one day, I don't know how many years into the future that will be, but it will happen.
Yeah.
Where we would just review other podcasts.
It'll be a podcast club podcast.